in the thoughts of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. Really good to see you all again. I say that with slight tongue-in-cheek because I can't actually see any of you. I had a cataract operation the other week, and I've got one pair of glasses which enable me to drive, which my wife is now very glad about because she's having been ferrying me everywhere. She's never been to church so much in her life, I don't think. But now I can actually drive again. But the trouble is I can't see to read if I'm wearing them. So I've had to take them off. So I think you're still there. I can hear you anyway. Good. All right, lovely. All right. So the advantage is, if I call you, you can fall asleep. But I was helping at the night church on Friday night in the centre of Bangor, or to be more precise, in the very early hours of Saturday morning. I was struck yet again by just how many young people wanted to chat and ask for prayer as they came out of the pubs and clubs. We're situated halfway between what used to be Walkabout, that's closed now, and a club called Fiction. I'm sure most of you know it when you go clubbing in Handy on Friday or Saturday night. But it's a good place to be because everybody passes by, and they were certainly passing by on Friday. When they want to talk and chat, they're not just worried about people they know who are ill, invariably grandmothers, but also they have concerns about future employment, relationships, Brexit, dare I mention the word, President Trump, cropped up quite often, and a lot of concerns about the environment and climate change. Indeed, the list was quite lengthy. The media sometimes say that young people today are the fearful generation. Well, I think that's a very sweeping statement. I think they're a brilliant generation. But we cannot ignore the very worrying statistics about mental health and well-being, especially among the young in 2019. And certainly one of the young gentlemen who came in on Friday night was suicidal. It was Corrie ten Boom, a great spiritual writer and survivor of the concentration camps, who wrote, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrow, it empties today of its strength." Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrow, it empties today of its strength. No wonder that Jesus often told his followers not to worry. Jesus knew how much time and emotional energy could be wasted in worrying. And he also knew that there are so many more important things to be thinking about and doing. We are about building the kingdom of God. Where do worry and anxiety really fit into a living faith? All they do is distract us from the things that matter. They sap our energy and make us focus inwards rather than reaching out and helping to transform society. It is this same society that encourages us to worry and be distracted. Just look at the advertisements that deluge our lives, telling us things we did not need to know about how others think our lives should be. We are told that we should have a bigger house, a faster car, a certain body shape when you've already reached perfection. We're told that we should have the latest toys and fashions. We should be eating particular foods, and of course, our clothes and curtains should smell like a pine forest on a spring morning. And because none of us can live up to the expectations of these idealized worlds portrayed in adverts and films, we worry. How many of us have lived with teenagers and have experienced the frustration of perfectly good trainers that cost £20 not being the right ones, simply because they do not bear a few letters on the side that make them more trendy and also push the price up to £80. It takes both courage and insight to be able to stand back from all this pressure and hear Jesus saying to us, "Hey, isn't life more than food, or the body more than clothing? Don't strive for all this. Instead, strive for God's kingdom and his righteousness." yes, of course, and these are perhaps more understandable. Concerns about our health or the well-being of someone we love. We can put ourselves into the hands of experts to treat us as we think best, and even though we trust them and are grateful for their care, our fears still remain. In the face of illness, we realise that however much we may have achieved in terms of status or relationships or whatever else, we still do not have full control over our lives. I also think of those who are leaving school and trying to decide what to do next. The days when further education automatically meant a good job are long gone. And with so many young people unemployed or else saddled with huge debts because they've had to take out loans to see them through college or university, some young people feel their prospects are quite bleak. I'm afraid the days are gone when one entered into a job and could be assured of having a job for life. When the gentleman sitting just behind me was ordained 40 years ago this year, congratulations, he was pretty certain he'd have a job for the rest of his working life. Well, he's almost made it. As long as he keeps his nose clean, he should be all right. But for many now, to have one job for that length of time is unheard of. That's why the words from reading the Bible can be so reassuring. For example, in the Old Testament, that's the big thick bit at the front of the Bible that Jesus had when he was growing up, from the prophet Joel, it says, "Do not fear. Be glad and rejoice because the Lord has done great things." And that was written at a time of great difficulty, when the crops had been destroyed by plagues of locusts, and yet they had grown once more. And the people enjoyed plenty. No wonder Jesus says, "Do not worry about your life. Your heavenly Father knows what you need." God will see us through difficult times. And at this rather bleak time, when there is just so much uncertainty around about where our country, where our nation is heading, it's good to be reminded that we believe in a God who takes infinite care over making a flower beautiful and giving birds wings. God will certainly take even more care over each human being because we are created in God's own image and we're worth so much more because of this. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you tonight, you are beautiful. I know I haven't got my glasses on, but nevertheless, you are beautiful. Just look at the person sitting next to you. Go on, look at them. Are they incredible? Are they amazing? Are they the most beautiful person you ever have seen? I'd like those flowers. We have freedom. We can choose how we grow and what path to follow. But we'll only find our lives fulfilled when we actually become the people that God has created us to be. Jesus reminds us not to get sidetracked and instead to strive to build God's kingdom and seek God's righteousness. This means allowing God to rule in our lives rather than anyone else or anything else. And it means, as we said right at the start, constant self-examination as to whether we are actually living our lives as God wants or whether we are falling short. Dear Lord, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, I haven't lost my temper, I haven't been nasty, greedy, overbearing, obnoxious, or put my needs before the needs of others. I have accomplished all these things on my own, and I have not bowed down to the pressures of society around me. But, Lord, in a very few minutes, I need to get up and go down for breakfast. And from that point on, I need all the help I can get. So over to you. Amen. You need to ask, am I trying to please the world rather than to be in a right relationship with God? Just what am I trying to achieve in this particular situation? We also have to recognise that if we live our lives according to the values of the world around us, then we are doomed to insecurity. Because in contrast to the steadfastness of God's love, the world's opinions and demands are constantly changing. As we look at the beauty of the world and the diversity of creation, we are reminded that God looks at each of us as unique individuals. and that God knows and understands everything about us. God has it all in hand. And we simply have to have the confidence to trust in God if we are ever going to find peace of mind. Peace that is unshakable, whatever may happen in the world around us, and enables us to keep a very positive outlook on life. Always remember that shepherd boy, David. He could have looked at that giant of a man, Goliath, and said, "Boy, he's so big, I've got no chance at all. I'm out of here." Instead, David said, "Boy, he's so big, I can't possibly miss." And he didn't. So let's pray that we may have confidence. Confidence in the love that God has for us, in the teaching that Jesus gives us, in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in our role as builders with our Lord for God's kingdom in this community, and in the wish of others to discover the love of God for themselves. And let us have confidence that God will give us all we need